Hello, Zimbabwe, and welcome to Live Talk Women's Roundtable, where we discuss issues affecting women. We are coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington, and I'm your host, Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Today on Live Talk Women's Roundtable, we're discussing the work some female Zimbabwean entrepreneurs are doing to help empower others in their communities at home and worldwide. But first, let's take a look at what is happening in the country regarding crime. Zimbabwean authorities say they are worried about rising crime, especially armed robbers, whose enforcement has led to law enforcement officers firing at and killing suspects. Columbus Mavunga reports from Harare, where analysts say Zimbabwe's crime rate is increasing because poverty has left people in desperate conditions.
Peter Apaure says he has seen conmen operating in his Harare, Zimbabwe neighborhood, pulling underhand deals and selling goods that turn out not to exist. But that's not all, he says.
The crime rate is increasing. Murder cases are rising. So I am pleading with the police to work hard, so that citizens are afraid to commit an offense. Police should be respected and must enforce laws diligently, as it now seems that we are in a lawless country with people murdering others freely.
According to official figures, Zimbabwe's national crime rate in the third quarter of 2023 stood at 1,202 per 100,000 people, up slightly from the second quarter. The government reported 1,098 criminal acts leading to death or intending to cause death in that same period, compared to 958 in the third quarter of 2022. Recently, Zimbabwe's police force has expressed concern about a rise in armed robbery, some involving current or former members of the state security. In some cases, police kill suspects in shootouts or when suspects tried to flee. Albert Ngulube, who heads Parliament's Committee for Defence, Home Affairs, War Veterans and Security Services, says police are sometimes outmanned.
With the limited resources they are trying, our crime rate can't compare it with South Africa. We are still better off in Africa. So I think our police are trying their best, although you have some people who always blame them that they're heavy-handed. All what we want is a community that we want to have peace in this country.
Obed Muzembe, a criminologist at Muzembe Law Chambers, says Zimbabwe's moribund economy and persistently high inflation are pushing many people toward crime so they can survive.
And then secondly, you are looking at the social fabric. You know, we have had a lot of migrations, people moving to South Africa, moving to the United Kingdom. It has created a society without parents. And as a result, young people are growing up without guidance and without mentorship, and they are bound to indulge in illegal activities.
Muzembe recommends that the government find a way to improve the economy and that the religious institutions and civic society do more to teach people good morals. Columbus Mavunga, VOA News, Harare.
And today in Harare, Harare Magistrate Vongai Guriro postponed to 26 February 2024 a judgment in which former Harare East lawmaker Tendai Biti is accused of verbally assaulting and threatening Mrs. Tatiane Aleshina at the Harare Magistrate Court on November 30, 2020. Biti's lawyer Alec Muchadehama has this to say on what transpired in court today.
Mr. Tendai Biti is facing allegations of assault. So he has been through a trial which has taken quite a long time, almost 4 years. So today the matter was scheduled for judgment. But unfortunately, the judgment was not read because we got the record late and filed our submissions late. So understandably, the court was not yet read with his judgment. As a result, the matter has been postponed to 26 February 2024 for judgment. So nothing much has happened today. He's alleged to have assaulted a person called Tatiana Alishina outside court number 17 on the 5th of November 2020. But that was what was the subject of the trial. The circumstances were that it is alleged that Ms. Pibit was coming out of court. He then had a verbal altercation with the complainant. And that is where the assault is alleged to have emanated. Not that there was anything physical, but that he simply pointed at her and used some words. That is where they allege the assault emanated from.
That was Tendai Biti's lawyer Alec Mushadehama in Harare. Meanwhile, in another case before the courts in Harare, former Zengeza West lawmaker Job Sikala was fined $500 and slapped with a wholly suspended 9 months in prison term for communicating falsehoods prejudicial to the state. But his defense lawyer Harrison Nkomo says they are not welcoming both judgment and sentence.
We are just coming out of court for the sentencing of Job Sikala in a matter of contravening section 31, subsection 1, paragraph 3 of the criminal law codification. Basically, a law criminalizing publication of falsehoods, a law that was nullified by the Constitutional Court, the highest court on the land, in 2014. That notwithstanding, the magistrate proceeded to pronounce the sentence, and Job Sikala has been sentenced as follows. 9 months imprisonment, wholly suspended for 5 years on condition that he doesn't commit a similar offense within the specified period. Further to that, he has been ordered to pay a year's dollar fine, $500, failing which he shall spend an effective period of 2 months in prison. And he has been ordered to pay that on the 4th of March 2024. Sure, case like the sun will rise tomorrow, 10 o'clock, the High Court shall proceed with our appeal. We have instructions to file an appeal as a registration of our displeasure or claim displeasure of this judgment. We disagree with it. It has no foundation at law. It is not sound. This law no longer exists. And it is wrong for a court to convict someone with a law that is no longer existing. The effect of a striking of an order, of a section by the High Court on the land, the Constitutional Court, means that law is dead. How does it resuscitate? No way it can. Yes, there are two cases that are outstanding. The one is for disorderly conduct in a public place, which is coming on the 16th, tomorrow, for judgment. And then we have another one coming in for judgment again on the 29th of February. So we have two outstanding cases here. But as you are aware, there was another conviction regarding incitement to domestic violence, which we've already appealed against. And this one, again, we're going to appeal. So by tomorrow, there will be two pending appeals in the High Court regarding Mr. Sikala and two outstanding judgments in this court, the Magistrates Court.
And that there was Job Sikala's lawyer, Harrison Nkomo, in Harare. And the nightmare of the October 7th attacks by Hamas gunmen and the war that followed them is far from over for Eritrean refugees in southern Israel. With no Israeli IDs and limited access to benefits, the refugees, twice displaced, are struggling to rebuild their lives as the war in nearby Gaza shows no sign of ending. VOA Celia Mendoza reports from the southern Israeli port city of Ashkelon.
Teke Welde Haimanad fled turmoil in his homeland in Eritrea in 2010, only to become displaced yet again last October when his home here in Ashkelon was among those hit by a shower of rockets fired by Palestinian militants in nearby Gaza.
I was inside the house. I got hurt here and there, a little bit everywhere.
Welde Haimanad considers himself lucky that his injuries were not serious. His wife and three sons were at a nearby shelter. But he says things have never been the same.
I feel it's very hard. What can I tell you? I feel the fear in my body, internal fear. I don't feel like going to work. One day I work, one day I don't. I feel the fear inside me. I would like to go to a doctor, but I do not have health insurance.
The UN Refugee Agency says more than 30,000 refugees from Africa are living in Israel. The agency says the Hamas attack on October 7 and the war that's followed has forced 1,200 of them to leave their homes.
This has been a real re-traumatizing incident. Not only that, some refugees members were killed. We have two Eritrean refugees were killed by the attack of October 7, and one refugee from Darfur that was killed in Israel. So it has been a very difficult.
That is especially true for parents like Teke Jimani, also from Eritrea.
Mamash keshe. Mamash ani ayeti ani gadalt ba milchama, ba medina shel milchama.
It was really hard for me. I grew up in a war, in a country at war. I came to a country that was more organized. I thought that was the case. Now you understand. I don't want the war. It is like I haven't changed anything. I don't want my children to grow up the same way, in a war.
And also without access to the type of government aid that is normally available to Israelis, he says. Like many other refugees, he does not have an Israeli identification document.
The evacuation system in Israel, unfortunately, is related to Israeli ID. But the vast majority of refugees do not have this ID. So it was hard for them to access this service that was provided by the government to evacuate everyone who have been living in those areas.
VOA received no reply to his request for comment from Israeli government officials. The State of Israel was founded as a homeland for the Jewish people, and it recognizes only a limited number of non-Jewish Eritreans as asylum seekers. The rest it sees as economic migrants living illegally on its territory. The government does not issue IDs to the migrants that would entitle them to many public benefits, such as medical care and emergency housing. For some, like Megastab Jerry Hewitt, who came from Eritrea, this means living as though they were invisible.
We didn't receive a grant from the state. It hurts. We feel like we're like rags here.
Jerry Hewitt worries about the future of his children who speak Hebrew and feel like they are Israelis, so much that they dream of serving in the Israeli armed forces.
I have four children. The 10-year-old and the 8-year-old told me we will be in the Golani Brigade. We will be paratroopers. They want to fight here in Israel, but they don't know they are not Israelis.
And still, after months of war, these parents are grateful to be able to come back to this, the only home their children have ever known. Celia Mendoza, VOA News, Ashkelon, Israel.
Please stay tuned as we'll take a brief break and stay with us.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on all our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. And we're also live on YouTube at VOA Zimbabwe. Today we're discussing about some business projects that some Zimbabwean women are embarking on to help empower other women and also improve the communities they live. To discuss this issue, we are joined by Dr. Rebecca Makai, the Director of Immigrant Women Coalition, Maitha Fox, an author and wellness coach, and Evanice Monando of the Female Students Network Trust. Welcome to the program, ladies.
Thank you, Marvella.
Yes, hello, how are you?
I'm fine.
Good.
How are you?
Good, good, good. So I'll start off with you, Dr. Rebecca Makai. We used to speak to you. You were Pastor Makai, but now you are Dr. Makai. What changed?
Thank you so much, Marvella, for the opportunity and to all the audience. I am excited. What changed is the desire to do more, to want to learn more. So I had to raise it and go back to school until I achieved what I wanted to achieve. Now I'm called Dr. Rebecca Makai.
Mm-hmm. So is it possible for other women listening out there to just say, okay, I'm going to, you know, put everything away and go back to school? How important is that for women?
I'd say it is very, very important for women to consider going back to school. Because we need education as women, no matter what we are going through. I understand we have a lot of challenges as women. We take care of families. We have a lot of things that we have to do. But it is very important for a woman to be educated, especially in our countries, especially here in Africa or wherever you go. You know, women have been part and parcel of a lot of things. But now without education, we tend to find a lot of hindrances along the way. But going to school will help us to be empowered to face challenges with knowledge and understanding, to be able to access funding, and to help against discrimination when we stand where other men are, and to transform the lives of our children and our society.
Thank you there, Dr. Makai. I now come to you, Evanice Monando of the Female Student Network Trust there in Zimbabwe. How are you today?
I'm fine, Marvelous. How are you?
I'm good. You've heard they were speaking to Dr. Makai, who's saying it's very important for women especially, and you yourself are heading a Female Student Network Trust. What do you tell the young girls about the importance of staying in school so that they have a better future?
Yeah, it's very important. I would want to concur with Dr. Makai. Why? Because, the generation of today isn't the generation of the past. We've been underprivileged to go to school and to develop ourselves. We had a lot of skills that we had previously, but I think we are lacking the platforms and also the opportunity to unlock those skills and abilities that we have. So for female students to stay in school, it's also a kind of empowerment because you'll be able to do things on yourself and be able to self-depend and also not be vulnerable in terms of the abuses that might happen. Because if someone is, if a woman is educated, I think there's a lot that is also going to change in terms of transforming lives of other women. And also these female students are young women, and they're going to become older women. And also women are going to be responsible in transforming our communities. So they want to be at par with these men, because if they don't acquire the skills, the requisite skills that are needed for them to participate in community development and national development, it won't be fair. Mm-hmm. So we are encouraging them that it's important to become educated and to have education as a priority, because that's the key to all the obstacles and vulnerabilities that they might be exposed to. So that's why we are encouraging them that you really need to work hard. And if those who are also doing life skills, the manual work, they should do it, you know, with the expertise so that they also, the job market, even at the moment, people facing or also demanding such skills.
Tinoona zvakare kuti sangano renyu raakudyidzana nedzimwe nyika muSADC. Tikuona muri kuita zvirongwa zvakasiyana-siyana zvekuedza kuti vasikana nemadzimai vawanikwe vachidyidzana. Mungatitaurawo kuti zvakamira sei panyaya iyi?
Nyaya iyi yakakosha mazvinaki nekuti takaona kuti tikangoramba tichiita basa remuZimbabwe chete, nyaya dzedu dzevanasikana kana kuti dzemadzimai echidiki dzakangofanana. Maringe tichitarisa muSADC muno mumadzimwe nyika dzakatikomberedza, tinodyidzana ende matambudziko atinosangana nawo akangoda kufanana. Asi dzaiti dzimwe nyikawo dzinenge dzaapamberi maringe nekudii nekusimudzira vanasikana yavo. Saka kana tichivasanganisa zviye kana kuti tichishanda nawo nedzimwe nyika dziri muSADC, tiri kuitira kuti vana vedu ava vemuno muZimbabwe vezvizvara zvemuno Zimbabwe vadzidzewo kuti dzimwe nyika vanozvifanisa sei, uyezve tichikopawo kuti kuti vasvike pavasvika ipapo kana tichitarisa nyaya dzemitemo yemhirizhonga yemadzimai chaiyo vakambozvifambisa sei, vedu ava vangakwanisa seiwo kutimudzirawo kana kuti vatore chikamu nyika inoyenyu yeZimbabwe kuti ifananewo nedzimwe nyika dziri muSADC. Nekuti takaona kuti takangoita hanzi chara chimwe hazisi panyinda mazenasi. Saka takaona kuti takauya takawanda tiri vasikana vemuno muSADC tichitaura neizvi rimwe chete zvinobatsira kuti ivo vatungamiri venyika dzedu vakwanise kunzwa gredi ende, uyezve zvinovaisa panhene kuti hatingatadze kuita sedzimwe nyika nekuda kukupa mucherechedzo wekuti kana Malawi yakakwanisa kucherechedza kuti mhirizhonga inofamba semudimburawo remutemo, ko isiwo chii chatingaita sezvizvara zvemuno muZimbabwe kuti tikwanisewo kukopa zviri kuitwa kuMalawi? Nekuti zinova kuti Malawi pamhiri chaipo apo padhuze, saka hatingatadze kuti tiitewo izvozvo zvinokwanisa kuti nyika dziri dzipunduke panyaya dzekusimudzira kodzero dzavanasikana nemadzimai. Saka zviri kushandira zvakanyaya sesangano redu nekuti pane unyanzvi hwekuti tinofamba sei uyezve tingazviita sei kuti zvishandike munyika ino yedu yatigere.
Thank you so much there. We now switch over to Canada where we have Martha Fox, who is an author and wellness coach. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, my very love. Thank you for the invitation. I really appreciate.
Tell us a little bit about some of the work that you have been doing to empower especially women and young girls.
Yes, and that's a topic in my heart. So the ways I've been empowering women and girls mostly is in the wellness. So I'm really big on helping women improve their mental health, physical health, and their financial health. So one of the bigger problems I've realized is women mostly who are stuck. Most of these women, their husbands have left them. Some of the women, their husbands are still with them, but they're mistreating them like they're in a mess. So I provide a tool just to help them to get out of that situation. And one of the financial wellness I have started, employment foreign worker in agency. So the goal is to help those women come to Canada so that they can have a fresh start, be able to raise money to take care of their children. And the other one I'm really passionate that started this whole journey was the physical health. I struggled with fibroids for a long time, and I did not know. So I empower women to know about fibroids, my journey, what happened, and how I've overcome that problem. So I do that through my book. It's called From Pain to Victory, where I share my story and the recipes I've created that can help with that situation.
Tiri ipapo my folks vamwe vangada kuziva mataura imi kuti munobatsira madzimai nyanya vanenge vakuda kutsvagawo mabasa ikoko kumarimuka kunana Canada uko, asi mazuva ano tiri kuona kuti pane chitsotsi chakawanda chiri kuitika pane vandi kutsvaga mabasa. Vangazive sei kuti zvamuri kutaura izvi zvinozovabatsira?
Okay, so for Canada is very, very, very strict. kana une employment agency muno mu Canada autoli mari yemuno kuti ndikuda kukubatsira. What we do tinotsvaga ma companies ari kuda kuhaya vanhu vari outside. Saka company inenge ine ma requirements ayikuda. Our job is just to connect the employee and the employer. So atibate mari dzevanhu, and my employers kuno Canada is very strict. Zvekuti if you do anything funny, you lose your license or whatever your privilege is. So with Canada, when we find an employer, let's say ari kuda healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
So I go into my network and say, hey, this company wants healthcare workers. These are the requirements. So we do the priest training. Once I start the priest training, then we can hand over to the company and say, these are our candidates. We have pre-qualified.
Mm-hmm.
So if they meet the requirements, the company running around in my immigration officers or immigration process, you know, it will be out of our hands. As an agency, we only get paid with a company when they've hired a successful candidate. So there's no fear of people losing their money. And when they come, it's a solid contract that says this is an offer for employment from this company.
Thank you so much, Ade. I'm sure you'll be getting a lot of inquiries. But let me go over to you, Dr. Makayi. Your last word, what are your plans this year?
Thank you, Marvelous. This year, our plan is to continue to educate immigrant women who are coming to the United States of America to understand how to navigate the system in the United States of America so that it will benefit them to go back to school, how they can access funding. We have lawyers who are helping them to process their immigration papers for free. We have lawyers who can actually help you how to bring your family. These are lawyers that can help you for free. So we are educating women how they can navigate, take advantage of the systems that are in the United States of America that can help them to be able to help people back home themselves first, and then they can help the other women back home.
Thank you. How do people find you?
We are found on www.immigrantwomencoalition.usa. Or you can get hold of me on 651-440-8737, or you can go to our website, Immigrant Women Coalition USA.
Thank you very much. Back to you, Ms. Evanice Monondo. How can people find your organization and your last word?
Thank you very much. I think you've done a lot of sensitization with regard to gender-based violence this year and going forward. We are now on prevention mechanisms because we just think we've done enough, a lot of advocates, but now let's prevent gender-based violence in our social institutions.
Thank you.
Boldness, courage, so that they're able to prevent.
Thank you so much. And Ms. Fox, where can people find you if they want to hear more about what you're offering?
Oh, okay. In the meantime, my website is under construction, so I cannot give that information yet. But they can find me on Facebook. Send me a messenger. Like the name will be Meta Fox. So it's M-A-T-H-E-R, and the last name is Fox.
Thank you so much, ladies. It was a pleasure having you, and hopefully we can have a synergy between you three ladies working together to provide these services to Zimbabwean women. So we had there Evanice Monondo from Zimbabwe. We also had Dr. Rebecca Makayi from here in the United States, and Netha Fox from Canada. So we had a very high-powered team here with us. And that brings us to the end of our show. Signing off in Washington, I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.